Today's scripture reading comes from Ezekiel. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep.
I am a big fan of the poet Billy Collins. Anyone else know Billy Collins? I've got a couple nods out there. He is hilarious. I used to think that good poetry was always stuffy and serious, and Billy Collins has changed that for me. He has poems that he has written from the perspective of his dog. He has one about the gifts we give our mothers that makes me laugh and weep all at the same time. It's called Lanyard. But my favorite poem of his is called Litany. And in it, he is critiquing, or perhaps just mocking, the use of metaphor, especially the use of metaphor in love poetry. He laughs at how when we don't have words to capture the fullness of a person or the fullness of our love for them, then we describe them using ordinary things. And in the case of the poem Litany, he uses ordinary things with great comedic effect. He describes his beloved as being the bread and the knife, the crystal goblet and the wine. He says, you are the white apron of the baker and the marsh birds suddenly in flight. Then he shifts gears a bit so that his beloved might know who they are not. For example, he says, you are not the wind in the orchard, the plums on the counter, and there is just no way you are the pine-scented air. Finally, he decides that what this love poem really needs is a description of himself, just so his beloved might know. He says, I am the rain on the roof and the shooting star. But don't worry, you're still the bread and the knife, the crystal goblet, and somehow the wine. This poem cracks me up, and if you did not click on the link in the Friday Flash, you should totally Google him reading it. It's hilarious. But I also think that it illustrates the difficulty we have of describing who someone is to us, describing what they mean, what they evoke. Think about how you might describe someone you love, what they mean to you, Or how would you describe who Jesus is to you? Could you do it without using images? Probably not. And yet, images fall short. Metaphors are not complete. And frankly, some of them don't even speak clearly to all of us anymore. They are merely attempts to try and understand an essence that is beyond our understanding and beyond our words. Today is Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate the ways in which Christ is King. King of the universe, the beginning and the end. We use soaring imagery, music, and liturgy, and in many ways, the image falls short. We are still unable to grasp all that Christ is. Furthermore, some of us are troubled by the negative images that a king brings up. It's paternalistic. Not to mention, we as a people have rebelled against kingship since our inception, not just as brethren, but also as Americans. And so the image may not capture all of what we want to say about Christ and our relationship to this sovereign God. And so our scripture in Ezekiel offers another image. It offers another metaphor for us to consider, the image of a shepherd. Shepherds are often leaders in the church. Rachel, David, Zipporah, all shepherds. And that's just three of them. It is a common and often comforting image for us. We think of Psalm 23 and hear echoes of that same shepherd in Ezekiel. I will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. I will feed them with good pasture. They will lie in good grazing land. I will seek the lost, bind up the injured, strengthen the weak. But even this image can fall short for us. Sheep are not the smartest animals. And there's very little partnership in the work of a shepherd and a sheep. And yet, we need these metaphors. We need images to help us talk about things like God and love that are beyond our sense of words. Sometimes, because we are dorks and really like Billy Collins, Ben and I will say things to each other like, honey, you are the bread and the knife. Or probably what we actually say is, you are not the pine-scented heir. There is no way you are the pine-scented heir. And we laugh. That's funny, right? But it has also become a way for us of expressing love for each other. We laugh about it, but it's special to us. There are ways in which those images that are completely meaningless to us, and yet they bring to us something beyond even their original intention. Even meaningless images have power. Think about that. Isn't that curious? Even meaningless images have power. I think that's true. And so recognizing that the images of king and the image of shepherd, those images fall short, and yet we can still use them to try and talk about who Christ is in our lives. We can still learn from them about how God has shown up for us and for others. We can still hear their invitation and their challenge to more faithful living. Even seemingly meaningless images can have power. Strangely enough, the image of king does not work for some because we do not like for someone to be in charge of us. Since about the time we were, two or three, we have not liked the idea of someone being in charge of us. We like to be independent, knowing on our own what is best for us. Submission has become a difficult word. Even the idea of submitting to God, the idea of following, has become more than some of us are willing to do. But the continuing invitation of Jesus is to follow, to not be in charge, to let go of the illusion of control, and to submit to the God who is in control. The God who is the beginning and the end. A God who is good. A Christ who is King. And this King, who directs our lives, does so in the ways of a shepherd. Now, shepherds tend. Shepherds keep. Shepherds protect. A shepherd will defend the flock against attack, even to the point of death. Shepherds are servants, but they are also directive. And the shepherd in Ezekiel is directing the hearers toward justice. There have been leaders over Israel who have used their power only for themselves. They have become like fat sheep, while others are starving and hurting. And so the promise of God is that those who are hurting will be sought out. Their wounds will be bound, their stomachs will be filled. Justice will come. Things will be reordered. God will reassert authority over God's people and reestablish them as a community. God will knit them together. They will all be God's people, all of them, the fat bullying ones and the thin poor ones. They will all experience the realigning nature of God's justice and become community together. In Ezekiel, God is active in that work. And as a part of the community of Christ, we are also invited to active participation in this work of seeking out the lost, binding up the wounds of the broken, feeding the hungry, and following the Shepherd King in the tending of our community. We are called to evaluate, to think about how we exercise power and leadership, to wrestle with whether we are most concerned with ourselves or with justice for all. We have to ask, have we become those bloated sheep who seek to get our way? And if we have, are we prepared for God to turn things in our lives and in our world upside down as we begin this season of Advent this week? In the church year, we are on the edge of this season of Advent, on the edge of this time of waiting, this time of crying out for God to come as King and as Shepherd to bring justice, light, wholeness, and peace to God's people. And yet, out in our regular lives, this season marks the beginning of what has become the busiest, most gluttonous, most consumer-driven time of the year. And so it seems necessary for us to ask ourselves, are we willing to recommit to following a shepherd king? Will we be God's people? Will we let ourselves be sought, found, tended? In the ways that we journey toward Christmas, will we accept the nurture of a shepherd who invites us to good pastures and to rest, even when all around us we are instead invited into indulgence and glitz. How might we lay aside the power that is self-serving and engage the upside-down work of God's justice? Our Christ is a king and a shepherd. Our Christ is a shepherd and a king. Our Christ demands our allegiance while at the same time gently and compassionately offering us transformation. Transformation beside the still waters where our needs are filled and our lives and our community are whole. May this king shepherd you, shepherd all of us, beyond our wants, beyond our fears, beyond ourselves. May this shepherd us from death into life. Amen. Thank you.